is relationships. And I find it fascinating that in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, that Jesus was not just giving theories, although they are theories, but they're proven theories, they're God theories, they will work. And so as we've been going through Matthew chapter 5, we're in the very last segment today. So if you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. In a couple weeks, next week, Mary Audrey's going to be preaching. And we're getting ready to start a new series, and or not a new series, but we're just going to get ready to keep going into Matthew chapter 6. And I was asking, sort of teasing Mary Audrey, because it's Thanksgiving weekend next week, that maybe she should speak on fasting, which is the third talk in the Matthew 6 series. And it's like, no. She'll just, she's just going to encourage next week. But as Jesus is meeting with his 12, and then it becomes a whole group of thousands of people who sat down on the mountain, and as he's teaching them, the end result that we see at the very end of chapter 7 is the people said, wow, like this is amazing. And he taught them with authority, the Bible says. And what that means is that when Jesus was saying something, it's right. It wasn't just his good thoughts, it's God's thoughts, God the Father. And remember, Jesus said, I can only teach people what I actually hear. And so Jesus kept silent on all sorts of things that he maybe had a thought about and an opinion about. But if his father didn't teach him and say, talk about this, it would appear that Jesus didn't talk about those things. And the Holy Spirit just was able to speak through Jesus. And the amazing thing is that Luke and Mark would have been interviewing Peter. Luke and Matthew were the ones who were picking up and writing down and journaling this particular sermon. And so we have Matthew's a longer sermon than Luke's is in terms of what they record. So let's look at the passage together. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 is where we're going to be picking up. And if you don't have your Bible, it's on the screen. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Do you know that was said a whole bunch of times in the Old Testament? Basically, that sort of theme is you're allowed to... You're allowed to love your neighbor, and the implication was, well, if we're to love our neighbor, that means we don't have to really get along with everyone else. But I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons or daughters of your Father in heaven. This is how God's children behave. We love people that are unlovely. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's why it rained yesterday. Some of you were righteous and some of you were unrighteous, and it rained on both of you. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing this? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans greet? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's a high standard right there, isn't it? That's a little unreachable, is it? That's called process. This is where we need the Holy Spirit to be helping us, is this whole becoming perfect, becoming like Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that you cannot change yourself. You have to have the Holy Spirit to be able to change you. And so if you're the type of person that is trying to change your spouse, which all married people are, that's part of the goal of being married, is to get them to be like you, is it not? I'm trying to get Sandra to think like me so that every Monday night the remote goes to me so I can watch Monday Night Football. Sandra's thinking, no, Stephen needs to think like me and give her the remote, because every day the Home and Garden Network is on, every day, 24/7. It's always on. There's always a decorating show that Sandra can watch. So what we've done is we've compromised. We have three TVs in our house. We have a boarder, so he has a television as well. So the whole process of life is becoming like Jesus, and you cannot do it. In fact, the Holy Spirit says the only way to change your life is to allow the Holy Spirit to do that. And so when Sandra and I came from a church background where we didn't proactively welcome the Holy Spirit, people were not changing to become like Jesus as fast as I've seen people in this congregation change. And it's because we have a high value in saying the Holy Spirit's the one who changes us. We need to stand every so often and just go, come, Holy Spirit. Without even knowing what the agenda is. I knew this week when I went into the prayer room that it was going to be a little unusual. I'm not a good person at just resting and just sitting down and being quiet and those kind of things. And probably within the first half an hour of being in the prayer room, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said this to me. Steve, are you here to get or are you here to be with me? Well, I knew what the right answer was. I'm supposed to be there with you. But like, I actually had my laptop to write down all the things that the Holy Spirit was going to be giving me and all this kind of stuff. And I was ready to go and journal and all that kind of stuff. And it was like, the very fact that God asked that question knew that he knew what my heart was already. So it was like, God, well, I was sort of trying to be like Simon Peter and squeak out of it and say, Father, you really know my heart, don't you? So this process of becoming like Jesus, we want to talk about this. So the overriding principles are these three things from this passage. We're supposed to love everybody, including those people that aren't likable and aren't, that are not lovely. We are supposed to be praying for everybody who upsets us. Everyone who appears to be an enemy, we're to be praying for them, Jesus said. This is our role. This is our job. And we're to be treating everybody as how God treats us, which means without prejudice, without partiality. That's the calling that we have as followers of Jesus. Not too many other faith groups would teach these kind of things. Not too many cultural groups would teach these kind of things. But followers of Jesus, this is our mandate. And so this is one of the bigger principles. So the Bible tells us how God treats us. The sun shines on all of us. It rains on all of us. God treats everyone the same. He loves us all, doesn't he? Impartial. He treats us in the very same way. And there's just many, many commands that are all the way through the scripture. So in John chapter 13, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, and you must love one another. Do you see the word must? Do you like that word? It's a hard word, isn't it? Must. How many of you can remember your mom and dad telling you, you have to clean your room before you can go out and play? Did your parents ever tell you those kind of things? You have to finish your broccoli before you get down from the table. I have one of my sisters named Jennifer. We didn't find out actually has an allergic reaction to milk and milk products. And we grew up in a family where my father's background is Scottish and my mother is English. My mom's not here today, so I can tell another story. Where we had oatmeal for breakfast every morning. How many grew up with oatmeal? Okay, Bob, oatmeal, good Scottish oatmeal. And my sister, you know, milk would be poured on or cream would be poured on. And my sister hated the texture of oatmeal and apparently, which we didn't know about because no one knew 30, 40 years ago that people were allergic to milk products. And my sister just could not stand it. And it was like, you have to finish your oatmeal before you go to school. I'm not eating it. And there would be a battle every morning. And my sister is like the rest of us, stubborn. And I can remember in the summer, she would sit there with her arms folded for hours. And the oatmeal is getting brown crusted. The cracks are growing in it. Have you ever seen oatmeal when it cracks over? Like it's just so, it's getting dry. And she would just refuse. I am not going to eat this oatmeal. I'm so glad that cornflakes were invented because we began to switch over to cornflakes and Cheerios and things like that. And it was just like the word must is a hard word, and yet that's the word that Jesus chooses for us in terms of the urgency to love the unlovely, the people that we don't necessarily get along with. Luke chapter 6, I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. That's a higher level of being a follower of Jesus, isn't it? That's a very high level for us to move to. Paul says this, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, which means you need to go out of your way, you need to push the boundaries, is what he's saying. Live at peace with everyone, as far as you can go. And friends, there are definitely going to be circumstances that come up where the problem is not you anymore, the problem is that person, the other person. That they're just being stubborn, they're being obstinate, they're being whatever. But the scripture for us as followers is that everything, as far as we can do it, our part is to love the other person. As far as it's possible, to be at peace with those people. We're not supposed to be the agitators. We're not supposed to be the ones that are stirring the pot. We're supposed to be the ones calming the pot and allowing the Holy Spirit to just be involved in all those situations. So as far as it's possible, be at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. So Paul's interesting on this one. He says, not your part to get even. God can look after getting even real good. And so Paul is sort of saying, guys, you know, God can get even far better than you can get even. And your getting even actually is going to get you in more trouble. Did you know that? My son Jonathan and I, last night, we were at home, and so it's the beginning of the ice hockey season, and everyone's optimistic about the Toronto Maple Leafs, or at least some of us are. And so we're watching our first Saturday night hockey game for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and within like 2 minutes, they're losing 1-0. By the end of the first period, they're losing 3-0. And we switched over to watch Cops, because it's going to be funny to watch the TV show Cops. Everyone seen the TV show Cops? Oh boy, it was funny last night. And it's like, how do the police officers have such discernment just to know this person to pull over, this person to pull over? And it's just amazing the insights that the Holy Spirit give these guys who probably aren't all followers of Jesus. And we're watching there's this one guy, and his wife has... is his strange wife, it would appear, has come back to him. They get in a fight, and she purposely gets him in a fight because he's got an outstanding warrant on his record. And so the police are called, and now he's realizing my strange wife purposely got in an argument so that I'd be arrested. And he doesn't want to be arrested, so he's up on top of the roof. And now the police are coming, and the fire truck, because they have the big ladder, and they're going to get him down. And he's going, you got to come up here, and you got to take me up, you got to take me down, and I'm going to go off this roof, and I'm going to take someone with me, and someone's going to die, and it's not just going to be me. And like, he's planning all these things. His wife was planning revenge. That's why she got an argument purposely with him. And it was just like, all of our best thoughts actually seem pretty silly when you watch it on TV under the guise of Cops. God's able to sort things out in a far better way, in a far more gracious way than you and I could ever do that. And so Paul's saying, let's leave room for God to be able to step in here. Jonah didn't like that. Do you remember Jonah? He hated the Ninevites. Do you know why he hated the Ninevites? People from Nineveh? It was because they were the bullies of his day. They were the superpower of his day. They were running roughshod over people and enslaving other nations. And so when Jonah, a prophet, gets a prophetic word, go and tell these people to repent, because if they don't, I'm going to judge. Jonah's going, actually, I prefer the judging option. And so he's going, I'm not going there. And that's why he runs. And God does an amazing little revenge factor. And he gets this fish to spit him up. It happens to be right on the coast, closest point to Nineveh. Because he was going towards Spain from Israel. That's where he was going. He's going the other side of the Mediterranean, and this fish drops him right on the beach of Nineveh. And he's going, oh. And so begrudgingly, this acid white guy, like just bleached white, smelling very good, by the way. Do you know that, do you remember, Linda, what the vomit of a whale is called? We had that in one of the sermons we were watching. It is the very same perfume that's used in Chanel No. 5. Whale vomit. So this guy's not smelling bad. He is smelling like a lady should be smelling. So maybe that's, I don't know what that issue was. But as he goes in and he preaches and everybody converts, and he gets really upset again, didn't he? Because he wanted justice. He wanted revenge. And God's going, no, I've got a better plan here. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you heap burning coals on his head. So here's some hints on loving each other. First of all, need to do some quick analyzing here. Is this person really my enemy? Most of the time, the answer is no. We just had a little blip. We just had a little fight. We just had a little thing. And my wife, Sandra, is not the enemy just because... this, because that, because this, because that. And most of the time, we just need to take a step back and say, okay, this is not a big issue anymore. This is just a small little blip that I need to just be thinking about. Next one is, have I misinterpreted the other person's words or actions? That is so easy to do. It is so easy. And what the hard thing is that all of us always see the other person's mistake. Do you see the other person's mistake? How many see the other person's mistake? So if you're seeing their mistake and they think they're right, what are they thinking about you? They see your mistake and think that you're the problem. Is that not correct? And so Jesus addresses that in Matthew chapter 7, where he says, you know, the speck that you have in your eye, you got to deal with that first. You got to deal with your stuff. And the problem is that sometimes you don't know what your stuff is. How many of the guys are here are fairly good? You're fairly perfect the way you are. Come on, guys. There's a few of you. Self-confident men, you know that you don't need fixing. Your wife's, you know, like she doesn't need to tamper anymore. You're good the way you are. You're very content the way you are. So if you're thinking that way, that I'm okay the way I am, and people around you are going, how do you find out what those things are? This is where having a best friend, being in a cell group, is going to help you. Did you hear what Nancy and Joyce were talking about today? Just friends, but feeling something not right. And so one of them phones the other, and off they go, and just trying to figure out, okay, what's at the bottom of this? Why am I a little ticked off with you? Why am I a little ticked off with you? Why am I a little ticked off with you? And if you're married, you have an absolute gift of God of a spouse who loves you, and you can go to them and say, okay, what's the big fault that I should be working on right now? And they're going to tell you. In fact, they probably already have been telling you, and you probably haven't been listening. If you're in a cell group, cell leaders, can I get you to stand up, folks? Your cell group. We have just under 200 cells. I think we're at 198 right now. 198 cells all across the GTA, represented in all of our campuses. You need to get in a cell group, folks. If you're not in a cell, you can sit down, folks. You need to get in a cell group, because in a cell, you're going to have people that are going to learn to love you and get along with you, and who are going to be praying for you, and because some of them are going to become good friends, they're going to tell you the issues in your life. They're going to be able to help you that way. Let's keep going. So what's my part in the problem? I already talked about this. This is a big question. What's my part in the problem? I've already told you my background is English. The English don't make mistakes. That's just the way, that's what the English believe. Where are the English? Is that not true? The English are right. The English are right. They just know it. It's God's gift to the rest of the world is the English. That's what we believe. So the challenge is, if you believe that, or if you believe that you're right, when anything goes on in your life, when there's a hiccup, when there's a challenge, when there's heat, when there's tension, it's always going to be someone else's problem. Yes? You are never going to grow as a follower of Jesus if you blame the other person. I can remember in School of Champions, in this room right over here, School of Champions number one, I think the talk is in a couple weeks, and the talk is, one of the talks we have is, who's the boss? So it's talking about marriage relationships. And I can remember meeting with guys in this group, 12 guys or something like that, in this group, and we're talking about who's the boss. And the guys are all very happy because they've seen that topic coming up. And every man's favorite verse who's married is, wives, submit to your husband. That's every man's favorite verse. They may not know any other verse in the Bible. They may not even be a follower of Jesus, but they know that verse. And I began by saying, by the way, that verse is not in the Bible the way that it's printed. The word submit is not even in the Greek. And the men are, what do you mean? The verse is, wives, to your husbands as to the Lord. Oh, what's that mean? Oh, okay, then we've got to go back to the verse above that, verse 20, Ephesians chapter 5, which says, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. One to another. Wives, to your husbands. Men, implied, to your wives. And the men are going, no, 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 no. I know it's in the Bible. That word, and we begin to talk about that. And I can remember one guy, and I guess he felt I was picking on him. And he was going, how come I have to be always the one to say I'm wrong? How come it's always the guy has to be the one to say that I'm wrong? And I'm going, would your wife actually think that that's the case? He got quiet real quick. But here's the issue. If you think that everyone else is always wrong, you're not growing. You're stagnating and retreating at best. Stagnating at best, probably retreating. The day that you begin to ask this question that was up there, I'd just say, what's my part in this? Holy Spirit, what have I done to contribute to this issue, this problem? That's a growing day. That's a day when the Holy Spirit's now able to speak into your life and show you things and talk about issues in your life, talk about tone and all those kind of things. I'm very happy that Sandra and I get along. Because I can go to Sandra and talk some things through. And so we do that a lot. And she says, well, Steve, your tone wasn't very good that when you talked with that person. You used one little word that probably wasn't the best word. I have a meeting this coming next week. Sandra and I was sort of refereeing two people that weren't getting along last week. And in my refereeing, I used one word to talk about one of the persons. And I used the word, I won't tell you what the word was, but I used the word. And I could see right away, it was like, that was the right word, but they didn't like that word. And so now I need another meeting to meet with that person and say, okay, here's what I was really feeling, and that kind of stuff. And it's like, is Steve Long the issue? Many times, Steve Long's the issue. Are you the issue? Many times, go like this. Many times, I'm the problem. Next one, see challenges as opportunities to grow. If everything goes well every day of your life, you're living a boring life. You're living a boring life. If everything goes well, that's not the way God created it to be. Opportunities and challenges are there. And there's a whole process that God has intended to work in your life where you have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. You have to live with other people. I know some of you are really good at being loners. But if no one else is around, who's going to do the dishes? You're going to do the dishes. You can't be like, who was the lady in the Alice in Wonderland? Remember, just left the dishes for years and just big, big, long table or whatever it was. Was that Alice in Wonderland? Can't remember that story. We have to get along with people. We have to learn to live with people. And so Bible says, rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Learn to forgive. This one we just keep on over and over and over as a church. Learn to forgive. And even if my enemy doesn't admit their part in it. And I know that people have come to me and said, Pastor Steve, I'm sorry for the way that I said something. And I'm thinking, okay, did I do anything here? And many times I just draw blank. And it was like, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know why, different things. I think I've told you that a couple times I've had people come to me while I'm standing at the door shaking hands on Sunday mornings when people are coming in and going out and things like that. And at one point I had a gentleman come to me after the meeting and said, like, was I upset with him? And it was like, what do you mean upset? Well, you didn't say hi to me this morning. And it was like, okay, where were you? And he was, well, I was standing right by the bookstore. And you walked right into the bookstore and you didn't say hi to me. And I'm going, okay, I remember going to the bookstore. Was I with anybody? Oh, yes, you were helping this lady find a book. Ah, okay. So it's not that, his issues were getting in, were feeling abandoned, rejected. How come the pastor didn't nod, wave, smile, any of those kind of things. And so I know that sometimes those kind of things happen where people don't intend to hurt another person, but it just happens. And when someone comes to you and says, would you forgive me, and you have no idea what's going on, then being gracious is an important thing. But there's other times when we need to be the initiator to go to someone, even if they don't say anything back to us. Is it hard when you know that it's been a two-way fight and they don't reciprocate and come back to you? I think I told you a couple years ago, Duncan Smith and I got into a real good verbal fight in front of the board of directors at the end of the board meeting. And it was just like, he said something, I said something, and within 5 seconds, we're in a fight. And I'm naming all of his problems and all of his issues, and he's naming all of my issues and all my problems. And everyone at the board table, like John Arnott's at the end of the board table, and it's like watching tennis, just going back and forth. And in the middle of it, I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. In the middle of it, the Holy Spirit says, Steve, shut up and listen to him. Everything he's saying is right. That was not easy. And so I shut up. And Duncan keeps on going. And keeps on going. Apparently I have many issues. And he realizes that I've stopped. And he looks at me. And I said, Duncan, I'm so sorry. I'm speaking out of my pain here. And would you forgive me for what I just said? And Duncan looks at me. And his eyes start welling up. He starts crying. Goes, oh, Steve, I love you too. So it was like, So, you know, we quickly resolved it. Our wives, because Sandra comes to me like 2 days later and goes, I heard you had a fight with Duncan. How come you didn't tell me about it? Well, because we resolved it. Yeah, but, and one of the people who was at the table is Al McDonald, and he and his wife do healing weeks. And so I looked at Al right after that, and I said, Al, how soon can I come? And he's going, I'm just making room for you right now. He just cleaned out his calendar. And so in January, I went for another healing week, and it was good because I didn't have to fill in any of the forms because Al was there. He heard all the issues. So anyways, okay, let's keep going here. We're told to pray for our enemies. When I feel irritated, we need to pray for that other person's needs, that God will help me forgive them and will help me to have love for that person. We need to continue to evaluate how we're doing with these people. Think about it. Process it. So let's remember Corinthians. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. Not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. Love never fails. Remember that one? An impossible standard, right? But that's the standard. How many of you are thinking of a person that you don't get along with right now? Hands up. Just think, do you know someone that you don't get along with really well? Can I get all of you to put your hand up? Just pretend. Do all of you have somebody, boss, spouse, former spouse, child, parent? Everyone got someone? Is there anyone who's living a perfect life right now and you don't have any enemies? Yay, good for you. So can you come up and finish for me, please? Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to look at this list coming up here and grade yourself with this person. Not generalized everybody else, with this one person that you're not getting along with. Okay? Have you got that person in your mind? Here's the list. Am I always patient with this person? Am I always kind? For every one of these that you say yes to, you know, do a count. So put a pinky up. Okay, I got one. I got two in that list. I got four in that list. Out of those ones that are there, I'm at six. Some of you are at a big fat zero already, right? Have you gone through the list? You're thinking about this one person. Let's go to the second page. How do you do on those ones with this person? Do you see those hard words? I always. Not I sometimes. How many of you scored really bad when you're thinking about that person besides me? People are laughing at me right now. Or are they laughing with me? Laughing at themselves. Okay, all right. That's even better. This is our challenge right here, folks. Do you think that we need God's help to love people? How about you stand up? So, Sue, do you mind putting this back up on the screen? A couple things we need to pray through right now. So look at these three things here. Father. No, don't say the word Father. Just look at them. These are three prayers. I forgive those who appear to be my enemies. Forgive me for my part in making enemies. Forgive me for not living. Would those be correct statements? If they are, I'd like you to just pray those through right now and put a name and a face with each one of these. Or maybe it's the same name and the same faith or same face. So just take 30 seconds on each of those and pray it through and say, Father, I forgive this one person, Bill, Sue, whatever their names are, Betty, Bob. I forgive those who appear to be my enemies. And just put a name to that. I forgive them. Now move to the next part here. Forgive me for my part in making enemies. What have you done? And if you're not aware of what you've done, just pause and say, Holy Spirit, can you tell me something that I've done that's aggravated that situation, that made that difficult, made that situation prickly? What's my part? And just listen. the Holy Spirit can talk to you right now. And the last one, forgive me for not loving. Think about that person that you're focusing on this morning. And I know some of you are in situations where you have real difficult enemies, as it were, right now. And for those of you that have had broken relationships, maybe that's the people you're thinking about, marriage relationship that's not going well right now. Maybe you have an ex-boyfriend, an ex-girlfriend, ex-spouse. Maybe you're strained with a parent, with a child. Your work situation is just unbearable. You hate Monday mornings. Father, would you forgive me for not loving? Just say your own little prayer there. And now number two, Father, would you help me to love my enemies? Help me to pray for others. Help me to treat others as you do, with no prejudice. I'd like you to just match up in twos real quick. Can you do that? With someone beside you, two or a three. If you're in a four, break it down to a two. Get in groups of two or three real quick. Tall person. We always start with the tall person. Tall person, can you go first and just pray for your friend right now that they're going to have the grace to be able to love that person? Put your hand on their shoulder, put your hand on the top of their head, and that they're going to be able to, instead of griping and complaining about that person, they're going to be able to pray for them. Because friends, here's what happens. When you pray, God moves. God changes things. So bless your friend right now. Tall person, you pray for them, that they can do these three things that Jesus has asked us to do. They need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They need to hear the Holy Spirit. They need to have the Holy Spirit interrupt them in an argument. They need to have the Holy Spirit jump in a situation, and like with when Duncan and I were having our argument, and just all of a sudden just invade that situation for us to go, hold it, stop right now. Do this, don't do this. So tall person, just pray for them for another 30 seconds. Ask the anointing of the Holy Spirit to kick in their life this week. Some of you may even this afternoon be having a lunch date. Maybe there's a family birthday party or something like that that you're going to, an anniversary, some sort of get together, and your nemesis is going to be there. Father, we're asking for the grace to be able to love the unlovely. Okay, tall person, stop praying. Shorter person, you pray for your friend now. If you're in a group of three, the one person that was prayed for just now, you pray for the other two. If you're in a group of three, the person who was just prayed for, put your hand on the other two people and pray this very same thing. Ask for grace. Ask for the love of God to come to change them. Change their heart. Give them strength. Give them hope. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, we want to do